Begin the current daf, Mesechtas Nida daf Ayin Aleph. Begin 8 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which was discussing the laws of Nida and as it relates to death. Now, the second part of the Mishnah was describing a machlekes b'shamay b'shil regarding the status of the dying woman if we give her the status as a Nida. So b'shamay em b'chului said that all women who die, they have halacha as a Nida, whereas b'shil said, no, only those who die as a Nida have halacha as a Nida, but those who don't, we don't treat their garments, whatever it is that was on them before they were dying, as a status of a Nida. So the Gemara one is, my tamay the b'shamay. What's the reason b'shamay? Why would we consider all dying women that whatever garments they had on them before they died, even if it wasn't on them as they were dead, as a tamim, as a mace, even before that, as a nida. Says the Gemara, inim mishum lechsev, if you think it's because, like it says a pasuk in Megillah Esther, it says, v'teschalchel hamalka, that literally means say that the queen was afraid. Now, v'amara, but he interprets, he says, melamed sheparsa nida, where the Mefarshim explain, you see it in the word, v'teschalchel itself, chalchel is from the word of chal, hollow, like emptying out, which means to say that she became a nida, a menstruating woman. That means to say the menstrual blood all came out. So you see that when a woman is afraid, so that would cause blood to come out of nida. So hachanami hiroso agabisus de malacha de maisa, when a woman has the fright of seeing the angel of death, sachazi, that would cause her to become a nida. And therefore Bishami says, yeah, every dying woman has this fear, and therefore that makes her into a nida. But that asks the Gemara, but vanan's nan. The exact opposite. Shecharada, that fright, misalekes as adam, actually removes the blood. Actually, even when we expect it to come, it actually doesn't come. It actually keeps it from coming out. So which one is it? And that says the Gemara in the Holokasha, that wouldn't be a difficulty, because pachado, a worry of fright, like in the Mishnah Daf Lamed Tes, when there's a fear of siege, of soldiers, of troops. And even if a woman's period is expected, it's the Shas of Est, and she doesn't check, then we consider her actually as Tar, because Tzamis. In that type of situation of a protracted fear, actually the fear actually removes the blood and it contracts into the woman's body. But B'Yisusa, but a sudden fright, which a person suddenly hears or sees something, then Merapi actually loosens the woman's body and actually just comes falling out. So therefore, that would be the interpretation of Beishamai, and therefore wouldn't be a contradiction. And a sudden fright actually would cause it, and seeing the angel of death is such an experience, and therefore every woman, as she's dying, becomes a nida. But on this interpretation, as the Gemara, but then Elohaditnan, but then this that we learned in actually a Braisa, that Beishamai Yarmim, he says, a similar concept in the male. Kol ha-noshim meisim, all men who die, we presume them to be like Zavin. Right before they die, we treat them as a Zav. Similar as in the Machlekes in our Mishnah regarding women, say no, ain't Zav, Ela Misha Mei Zav. We only one who's a Zav, that the garment will have the halacha of a Zav, is only if the person, the man, was a Zav before he died. But a regular man, we won't treat his garments before he died as a Zav. Now, and that is the Gemara, if the reasoning of Bishamay is like we just explained before, because of the sudden fright of the angel of death. So therefore, you're going to say the same thing happens to a man. So that would cause the man to have this Zav discharge too. Problem is, how would that make a man tummy, but a male doesn't become tummy if it was an external force, what's called einus, causing him to have the zav discharge? And therefore you run into the problem, ikri kam mibisarei, you have to recite over here what the drush in the pasuk, when it says if a man's going to have a discharge from his flesh, the interpretation tells us, v'loy mach besayinsei, but not if it was caused due to some external circumstances. So here where it's being caused from an external circumstance of the malach hamavis, of some outside fright, that actually wouldn't make him into a zav. So if that's the reason, why would Bishamah then say that by the man also, every man becomes a zav right before he dies? So the rather says, you're right. Tami de Bishamah, the reason the Bishamah is not like we said because every man and woman becomes a zav or nida right before they're dying. Rather, it's a rabbinic concern because of the dignity of the zavin and of the nidas. So that's why they instituted that every garment of a dying person that they were wearing right before they died, including everybody, even if it didn't touch them after they died, because then they would have the tumma of a mess, that rabbinically require every person's garments to be immersed. Why? Could you tell him, like, learn the price? Birishain, in the beginning, yeah, Beishami agreed to Beisil. They would only go ahead and immerse the garments that were on the nidas as they passed away. That is, even before they died, so it didn't have a tumma of a mess, but simply because of the tumma of a nida, which a nida contaminates garments. Now the problem was, so the living menstruating women, they were embarrassed because the dying woman, this was the garment she was wearing. And even though they took it off, but you see the dying person, they saw even in death we're different than everybody else. regular women, they don't have to toivel and immerse their garments. And look, this dead woman, you see that they went and they immersed her garments. So they were embarrassed. So they instituted this rabbinic concern that every woman's garments, when she passed away, to immerse it, because of the dignity of the living menstruating women. So it's a rabbinic concern. You're right, Bishami agrees that you don't become a nida, you don't become a zav, but rabbinically, because it's going to be embarrassing for the live nidas that you see, because they probably wait till after the woman's dead, and then they go to immerse the garments because of the fact that she was a nida before she died. But it looks degrading that look how the need is treated differently, and therefore the living need is felt like that too. And similarly, so too by the men, they would immerse the garments of a dying person, a man who was a zav as he was dying. But so the living men, there was zav, and they were embarrassed. Look how they treat differently this dead person because he was a zav. So they instituted every single man, they would immerse the garments because of the dignity of the living zav. Now, continuing to the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of, as the Mishnah says, Ha'isha Shemesa, regarding a woman who died, which was the theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding a woman and regards to death. So we talk about a woman who passes away. And then a revius halig of the uterus comes out. So says the Mishnah, Mitamim Shum Kesem. So the Tanakhama says that she's going to contaminate because of a stain, which is the rabbinic terminology of the laws of Nida, and the Mitamim Ba'il. Now, if it's already a tumas oil because it's a revius of dam of a dead person, what's the significance of saying that it's a tumah of nida? So the ramification is because dam of nida, menstruating blood, contaminates even with a mashu, even with a minute amount. Because in contrast, regarding the laws of tumas mes, because she's a dead person, that only contaminates the amount of revius. And therefore we pick the case of revius. But the significance of kesem is that it even would be a minute amount. So therefore it's metamisham kesem and the metamah ba'il, which is, if you have older revius together in one spot, then it's contaminated in that oil, again, because of tumas mes, because there's two elements with this woman. One is the dam of the nida, and one is the dam because she's a dead person. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, ein mitamim shum kesem. There's no halacha here of staining of blood from the uterus, of menstrual blood, even though it's coming from the uterus. M'nei shenekar m'shamesa. It only comes out after she died. And after she died, there's no more laws of nida. It's only by a living woman that her dam from the uterus is dam nida. Since it came out after she's dead, it's no dam nida. It's not going to be contaminated mashu. It's only the tumah of blood from a dead person, which that contaminates in the shear of a revius and even in the oil. Now, but a Maidr B'Yudah would agree, be yeshevis al mashbir mesa. If a woman was sitting on the birthing stool, which is she's about to give birth and then she dies, the yasemen revius dam, and the revius of dam comes out of her, shehimitam shem kesem dihi, would agree that it would contaminate from the laws of nida, because that she was giving birth and the uterus is opening, which is where the child is, and the blood's coming out when she was still alive, therefore it was when she was still alive, so that is bona fide dam nida, and therefore that would contaminate from the laws of kesem. Now, Amar Bisi follows through on this, lefikach ein mitam ba'il. So therefore, this dam, if it came out when she's alive, that's why it's mitam b'shem kesem, and Rebbe agrees, so therefore he says, it's not going to have tumas ayil, because that's only blood from a dead person, and this obviously came out when she was still alive. Now, the Gemara says, regarding the opening halacha, mechlal de Tana Kama Saba, the inference is that the Tana Kama held, avagav de nekar dam b'shem esa, even though, and because we see from Rabbi Yehuda that he says, no, there's no law of kesem because this blood came out only when she was dead, and therefore he says only has a law of tumas ayil, but the inference is that the Tana Kama, who said that, no, it's going to have tumas kesem and tumas ayil, so the inference is, avagav de nekar dam b'shem esa, even though the blood came out after that she's dead, like we see that's what has tumas ayil, and still metamishum kesem, and still it's to contaminate as kesem, how's it going to contaminate as kesem if it only comes out after she's dead? So that Amaziri says, mokar, blood from the uterus, mekaymai tamei, if the place itself of the uterus is what's the contaminant, that's ikabinai, that's the difference between them. That is because the Tanakama holds, you're right, there was no re'iya here, because it was only after that she's dead, but the uterus itself, its place, is a place of tumah. So therefore, even though it's coming out after that she's dead, it's still going to contaminate with the laws of nida, because that blood was in the uterus when she was alive. So although it's coming out after that she's dead, and she's not, quote, a raya of dam nida, but it's dam from the uterus, which was a uterus when she was alive, and that's where the blood's coming from, therefore it's going to be metame. Now, then the Seifa said, Umayda Behuda, although Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in the Resha, he agrees in the case of when she's the Yeshevas al Mashber, if she was sitting on the birthing stool, that there, it came out when she was still alive, and although it's coming out, we see when she's dead, but it was already out from the mocker, from the uterus already when she was alive. So therefore, then it's going to have a tumah of kesem. On that, Rabbi Yisi says, oh, therefore it's not going to have tumah sayil, because it's not when she was dead. Tumah sayil is only from a dead person. Now, then as the Gemara, machlal the Tana Kama Sabra, which here the Tana Kama doesn't mean the Tana that was mentioned first in the first machlekes, meaning from the second machlekes, it's referring to Rabbi Huda. The inference is that Rabbi Huda, he doesn't say what Rabbi Yisi follows through. So the inference is that he holds bo'oil nam metame, that actually this blood is going to be metame even if one is in the same oil, in the same house as the dam. How's that possible? But we just described that the reason why he holds the tumas kesem is because it came out when she was still alive. If she came out when still alive, it's not blood from a dead person. How is it going to have tumas oil? So Rabbi Hudam says dam tavusa ikibinayim, which we're going to discuss shortly, different interpretations of what it is, but it's a rabbinic type of a tuma. And that is what their machlokes is. Rabbi Huda holds, since ultimately there's a doubt here regarding the blood, there's a doubt that maybe all the blood came out when she was alive, which we're saying, therefore, that's why it has a tum of kesem, because she was sitting on the birthing stool, the blood's already coming out, even though we don't see it until she's dead, but we assume that it came out when she's alive. Maybe all of it came out when she was alive. So then you're right, then there wouldn't be any tum asayil. But there is a doubt that maybe some of the blood did come out after that she was dead. That's what's known as dam tavusa, which is rabbinically, this that there's Rabbi Huda saying, as we're inferring from his not saying what Rabbi Yisi says, that's going to be tumas abayil, is rabbinically it's going to be tumas abayil. Because biblically, the whole revius have to be after that she's dead. So here, you don't have the whole revius after she's dead, but maybe some of it did. Then you have that halacha of dam tavusa. Whereas Rabbi Yisi held that, no, there's not even dam tavusa, and therefore there's not going to be any tumas abayil even rabbinically, because since she's kneeling to give birth, all the blood already came out when she was still alive. And therefore, it's not even dam tavusa, and therefore it's not going to have tumasel. The time we learn the braisa, there's actually a large machlek, is ezeu tam tavusa. What exactly is the exact parameters of this rabbinic tumah of dam tavusa, which we said in the previous parak of Samach Beis Mabeis, that its tumah is rabbinic. So the first opinion, Pirush Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yehuda, says, harik sheyatzim min adam, someone that was murdered, that blood came out of him, bein b'chayev, bein b'maisei, whether he's alive or whether he's dead. In other words, the revius of dam, which is the mount that's metame ba'il, started coming out of the person when he was alive. Now, safik, there's a doubt. Did all of it b'chayev yatzah? Did all of it come out when he was alive? Safik b'maisi yatzah? There's a doubt that actually maybe all the revius came out after that he's dead. Safik b'chayev u'b'maisi? There's a doubt maybe part of it came out when he was alive, part of it when it came out that he's dead. So zeh dam tavusa. So this is what's known as dam tavusa, which is rabbinically metame in the oil, as we said in the previous paragraph. The dam tavusa is rabbinic because we don't have a definitive revius of dam over here that came out after the person was dead. But rabbinically, that's considered a doubt of creating a tumah. But v'chamayim, the sages say that, no, this is not a correct interpretation, because since you could be in doubt, as was just described, that maybe all the revius came out after the person was dead, so that's what's called a suffix tumah deraisa. It's a doubtful biblical tumah of a revius of dam of a dead person. So therefore, whenever you have a suffix tumah, it depends. B'shusa yachar in the private domain, tzveke tummy. Then we say the doubt is always, you'll say it's tummy, it'll be a biblical tumah. B'shusa ram in the public domain, tzveke tar, then the doubt is tar. So Ella, Ezehu Dam Tfusa. Rather say the Chacham, what is Dam Tfusa that we're saying the Tumah is rabbinic? It's the following case. Harik Shiyatzim Hemenu, which is essentially coming to say that no, you can't have, you're not having a suffix even of Revius Dam, Lacha Maisa, like the way the first opinion said, because again, that would be a suffix Tumah Deraisa. What's the rabbinic Tumah? Harik Shiyatzim Hemenu Revius Dam Bechayev Uba Maisa. Someone who was murdered, that Revius, which is a revius of leg, a quarter of a leg of dam, of blood, comes out b'chayev u'b'maisei, when he's alive and when he's dead. And v'adayin le'pasak, and it didn't stop yet. But we know that for sure, that you didn't have a complete revius after the person died. But safik ruba b'chayev u'miyuta b'maisei, but we're in doubt. Did most of the revius come out when he was alive and only a little bit after that he was dead? Or safik miyuta b'chayev ruba b'maisei, or maybe only a little bit came out when he was alive and most of it came out when he was dead? Zehu dam tfusa. That's dam tfusa. So there's no even suffik tumah deraisa, because we know for sure it wasn't a revius of dam lacha maisa. But the chiddush that they're saying is that even if we're in doubt that maybe the majority of it possibly came out when he was still alive, still we're going to make a gzeir drabanan of tumah. But you're right, even if a majority of it came out after the person was dead, there's still not going to be a biblical tumah, because one requires a revius, a complete revius from a dead person to be biblical tumah. But again, had we known for sure that a majority of it came out when he was still alive, we wouldn't even make a rabbinic decree. We don't know. Maybe. But maybe a majority of it came out after that he was dead. That's essentially the gzeir drabanan of dam tfusa because of that concern. Rabbi Yehuda gives a different interpretation. It says, Harik Shiyatsa Men Revias Dam. Someone who was murdered, that Revias Dam came out from him. Vayimutal Bamita, and this dead person, this dying person, was in a bed. Vidam in Metaftav Laguma, and the blood was dripping into a pit. So Tame, that blood is going to be Tame. And Nishatipa Shalmisa Morevas, because you have the drop of blood of death, which is from the first drop that you have a person dying, that's mixed into that thing. That's the rabbinic tuma of Dam Tvusa. But the sages say, actually, no, that dam is going to be tar. Why? Because there's a continuum of the dam. Because you have the first and you have each one at a time stopping. Meaning, what's happening is with this dying person, the blood's not gushing forth, it's not flowing out, it's dripping, as we described this dead person lying in the bed and dripping down. So therefore, even if the majority would come after the person's dead, which we said previously that they would agree that's dam tfusa, that would be tami ba'oil, here in this case just described, they would hold that actually it's going to be tar. Why? Because in the beginning, the blood is dripping from when the person is alive into the pit. Then when the person expires, he dies, then the blood continues dripping in, drip after drip. Now every single drip that falls in, that drop is going to be nullified in the original blood, which is in the pit, which was blood when he was alive. Blood when he's alive is not tam ba'il. So every drop is being bottled. When did we say, according to the Chum, that it's dam tfusa? It's when he's laying on the ground, and the blood is flowing out, and it's not stopping. It's coming out together, continuous. That's where we say that if a majority came out after the person was dead, that's where rabbinically we're going to go after that dam, and even if we're in doubt, however, the Rabbanan made the gzerid Rabbanan. But they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda when it's dripping, because then each drop is being bottled. And that says the Gemara, well, Shapa Kamrile Rabban Rabbi Yehuda. Well, that's a pretty good argument after Rabbi Yehuda. What would he say? Says Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Tamei goes according to his reasoning mentioned elsewhere. The Amar that he says, Ein Dam, Avatal Dam, as mentioned, Perikis Adam, says blood doesn't nullify blood. So although, yes, it's dripping and one drop at a time would be bottling that blood from when he was alive that already was in the pit, but blood doesn't nullify blood, and therefore, if it ends up being a majority of the blood from when he's alive, when he's dead, which and there's such a, there's at least a doubt regarding that, that's where he says that they will have the halach of Dam Tfusa Drabban. Shimon, I mean, he says, Tzalav ala eitz, if someone who's hanging on a wood, which they would execute that way, Shadami Shaisis La'aretz, where the blood is dripping, is flowing to the ground, V'nimta tacht revias dam, and you find beneath that person a revias of dam, that's going to be tummy. Because here, it's not dripping, it's flowing down, and it's not stopping. So therefore, it's not going to nullify the blood that's coming after the person's dead, which is a lot of blood. But again, you're right, Rav Shimon would agree that if it was dripping, every drop that comes in would be bottled, even if the drops are after the death are many, are plentiful, it's going to be bottled because it doesn't fall at one time. But if it flows down, it gushes down, then he says it's going to be tamei. But Rabbi Yehuda Matar, Rabbi Yehuda actually would say it's going to be tar in this case. Why? Because he says, Shani Oime, I would say, Tipish al Misa, I made this like Agava Eitz. The drop of blood of death, that's still on the wood. So that he holds as the primary element in Dam Tfusa, and since that's still on the wood, therefore, it's not going to make the blood beneath him as dam tfusa to have the tumah drabban. But if Rabbi Yehuda says the Gemara, then nemi ilu navshei, then why doesn't he tell that same argument to himself for his interpretation of the previous case when the dying person's on the bed, where he says, actually the Chum disagree with him, but he says, no, that's going to be dam tfusa. Why didn't you say, shani oime, tipa shalmisa imedas agavamita, that they rosa, the drop of blood of death, which is a certain drop of blood, that's still on the bed too. Just like he's saying it's on the wood where the person was hanging, Teiros should say it's on the bed, and therefore the pool beneath and the pit should not be tamid of the dam tfusa. Says the Gemara, no shani b'mita. It's different in his case on a bed, to machalchal because that shakes, and since it shakes, it's going to fall down, and therefore we see that the dam of the tipa shalmisa is going to be in the pit, and therefore it is going to be tamid because of the din of dam tfusa rabbanan, unlike the piece of wood which doesn't shake, and therefore he says that it's possibly there, and therefore we're not going to give it the law of the rabbinic tumah of dam tfusa. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing this theme regarding the tumas relating to a woman. Originally they said, Hayesheves al dam tahar, a woman who's sitting on what's called pure blood, which is the case when a woman gives birth. First 7 or 14 days, if it's a boy or a girl respectively, she's tamei. Then the remaining 33 or 66 days respectively are even if she's seeing dam, she's flowing dam, it doesn't make a difference, it's tar, she does not become tamei, it's considered that it's tar. So originally, such a woman, that state of post-birth when she has pure blood, the halacha was, she would pour the water that's needed for the Karban Pesach, meaning to pour it from vessel to vessel, when they need that water to wash the flesh of the Karban Pesach. Now, the water itself she wouldn't touch, because the status of a woman who gave birth for those 33 and 66 days, she has halacha as a tevulas yom, as a woman who immersed herself that day, which generally a person becomes tamei. So let's say they touch the sharetz, they're tamei, they immerse themselves in mikvah, then that night they have to wait for Harav Shemesh V'Sundan, and then that night they can partake of Truma. So that whole day, which is like a quasi type of Tarish, is considered a Tevul Yom. So I'm immersed that day, but not totally purified. Here this woman, till the end of the 80 days, she's considered like a long Tevul Yom, because after 14 days she immersed herself, but she doesn't have, quote, the sundown until the 80th day, which is right before the time when she brings her atonement for having given birth 80 days before that. And the pasuk makes her like as a one long tefillah yom, as the pasuk says in Yikud Beis, "B'chol kodesh leisiga." For all those 80 days, she's not allowed to take to touch and partake of kodshim, which the Gemara tells us b'chol kodesh includes even truma, which that's essentially the status of a tefillah yom, which we consider the person as a sheni, which cannot partake of kodshim or of truma. Now, but when she's pouring the water, she's not touching the water; she's only touching the vessel. A sheni does not contaminate a kliya. A kliya could only become tummy from an av to make it into rishon, but a sheni will not make metame kli. So therefore, originally they said that the woman could pour water from vessel to vessel that's needed for the Karban Pesach. Chazru leimer, subsequently they said, harehi kamaga tmei meis, that she has the status as someone who touched a dead person. Someone who touched a dead person, a mes is avi avisatoma. Someone who touched a dead person, what's called tamei mes, is avatama. Someone who touched a dead person is considered a rishon l'tuma. Now, specifically, they treated this woman in her days of tahara as a tefillah yom as a rishon l'kadoshim, only for the laws of kadoshim, but not for chulin. So, therefore, actually, although this was quote unquote a stringency for kadoshim, it's actually a leniency regarding the law that we just said regarding the woman and this water that's used for the Karban Pesach. So, therefore, actually, subsequently, they said she could even touch the water if she wants to, the water itself. Because ultimately, the water is currently chulin. It's unsanctified. And a tefillah yom is a sheni. And the sheni does not make something to the next level when it passes it on to a chulin thing to make it into a shlishi. Now, although this water ultimately is being used for something that was on the level of tahara of kachim, which is Karban Pesach, and that's what it was used for, but still, a sheni will not negatively affect it, because ultimately, this is at most what's called a chulin that's made al taharas hakodesh. Chulin that's with the standards of taharas hakodesh is not like kachim itself, and therefore it does not become a shlishi. So therefore, although we're describing this as a stringency of kachim, but it's actually a leniency regarding the case of this water. That's kedibbi b'sil. B'shamayim, they say, af ketmeimes, that they subsequently said that this woman's not just like a magat meimes, which is mean like a rishon. They actually treat her like someone who was touched a dead person, which is that she's not just a rishon v'kachim, she's actually like an avatam of a kachim. Now, the Gemara makes an inference regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah. We said that originally we said that ma'ara in, that a woman could pour the waters of this that's needed for wash the Karban Pesach, but nagas, but to touch the waters, that loy, not. She could touch the vessel, but not the water. Sama, something we see from the Reish, is chulin shenasa taharas hakodesh, regarding these waters that they're unconsecrated, but they're made with the level of sanctity for something of kachim, is kakodesh, I mean, that it itself has the laws of kachim, and therefore a sheni, which is what a tefillah yom, would negatively affect it, because if it's chulin, it wouldn't negatively affect it. Obviously, we treat a tefillah yom, which is a sheni, regards to this chulin, which is made of taharas hakodesh, like kodesh itself. However, says the Gemara, but Ema Sefer, but look at the Sefer, where we see that Chazru Lema, subsequently they said that, no, Harehi Kamaga Tmei Mesla Kachim, that we treated her only as a Rishon for the laws of Kachim, which therefore means to say that regarding Kachim, she obviously cannot touch the waters. But La Kachim in, La Chulun Lai, that's only for Kachim, but not for Chulun. Obviously, we see that even the waters which are on the level of kachim in our standards, but they're chulin, that they're not like kachim, and therefore, actually, we permitted her to go ahead and touch the waters. Moreover, says the Gemara, Masnit Nimani, obviously, who's the town of our Mishnah? It's Abishali, because the town we learned the Brace, Abishalim, he says, a tvul yayim, which was how we ended off the law of the Mishnah, is tchila lakaydish. It's considered a rishon, which is the first. Which is the first derivative, which is like from the Av, which is considered the father of Tumah, and Aviyah, which is the grandfather of Tumah, which is what only a dead person is, that we treat the Tful Yom, which is what this woman is, in these 80 days, in these 66 days, we treat her as a Rishon for the laws of Kachim, like we said specifically, Kachim Nafachulun, which is Latamish Naim, which actually contaminates two things, which it could then treat, it could make it into then a Sheni, and then subsequently into Shlishi, and then Belifsel Echad, and then to then invalidate. Then even the next level, which is a Revi, which only Kachim can become a Revi, in contrast to Truma and Peshonat Meiser or Chulun, which is, it only invalidates it because it cannot, it only considered Tameh if it could then transmit it further, but Kachem does not make it into a Chamishi, so we consider that it could invalidate. That halacha is obviously, like we say, like Abishal, not like those who say that we only treat it like a Sheni. Now, continuing to the next Mishnah, says this Mishnah, Umaydim, although we brought a machlikis before Bisham Isil regarding exactly the laws of Kachim, do we treat this woman in her days of Tahara, of post-childbirth, like a Magatimemes, or like a Tamemes, like a Rishon, or like an Av? But Umaydim, both of them agree, not regarding the laws of Kachim, regarding other laws, that they agree to the her status. For example, she hachelis b'maiser, she could eat maiser, which is like the laws of a tefil yom, which although we say you have to wait for Harav Shemesh, that's for truma. But for maiser, then that's permitted even when she's a tefil yom. And v'kaitz l'chala, she's also allowed to separate chala, which is when one makes a certain amount of dough, one has to separate a portion that goes to the kain called the chala. Until she didn't yet designate it and call that this is chala, she could separate the actual challah, put it into a vessel, then umakafes, then when she does is then she brings the vessel that she now has the piece of challah in near the dough which she separated from, and then bakari l'shem, and then she could designate and call it the name of challah, which the Gemara is going to explain that because there's a mitzvah to separate what's called min hamukif from what's near it, from the thing that you're separating from. So therefore, when she's designated as challah, it should be near the original dough. Now, continues the mission of Vimnafal Mereikra. This woman, this, like we call her a tefulas yam aruch, a long tefulas yam, this woman who posed childbirth, if it falls from her spit, which are liquids which are coming out from a tefulas yam, which as Gemara is going to explain, are tahar, or midam tahar, or from her pure blood, which if this blood is dripping out from her, which we're saying it's not mitami, if it falls al kikar shel truma, falls on a loaf of bread of truma, shutar, which is tar, her spit is tar, her dam is tar. Now, bishami aymim, tzricha tefila b'achreina. This woman needs another immersion all the way at the end on the night of the 80th day to be permitted to partake of truma, because she's what's called a long tefil yayim, and she has already lost her consciousness of sanctity regarding truma, and therefore she has to immerse herself by the sundown of the 80th day. Now, if she's not a bas kain, if she's not a eshes kain, then she has to immerse herself simply because of coming into the base of Mikdash. But they disagree. They say, no, in the tzricha tefila b'achreina, she does not require an immersion at the end. She already immersed herself at the end of day 14. And therefore, that's the tefillin. She's just waiting for sundown. She does not have to immerse herself on the night of the 80th day. But as Rashi points out, regarding the laws of eating kachim, Basil would agree, as the Gemara says in Chagigah Daf Chafal from Aleph, that an oinin, a mechusik kippurim, who didn't bring their carbon after the purification, which is what this law of Yeledis is, needs immersion for to partake of kachim. So therefore, after she brings her atonement on the 80th day, then she immerses herself of kachim, and only then is she permitted to eat of kachim. Now, the Gemara explains some of the elements of our Mishnah. Mishnah opened up that both of them agree that she could eat of Maiser. Why? So the Gemara says, because the Amar Malik, the Master said, Tavol Va'ala, someone who's Tami, could immerse himself in the mikveh and come out of the mikveh, and already Eichel B'Maiser could already eat of Maiser. This of waiting for sundown is only for like Truma and things higher than that. Moreover, the Mishnah said, V'kaitz L'chala, she's allowed to separate the actual Chala piece itself. Why? So as the Gemara explains, Chulin HaTavulin L'chala, unconsecrated dough, which is what this dough that the woman's baking for herself or family, that's untithed in the laws of challah, meaning in somewhere in here has a piece of kedusha of challah over here. Lav kechallah, it's not like challah itself. Ultimately, it will be challah when she calls it challah, but when she's separating it, it's still chulin, and therefore she cannot contaminate it because she's a sheni, and sheni doesn't make a piece of dough of chulin into a shlishi. Now, but then the Mishnah said, but after she separated and put into a vessel, uma kefes, then she brings that bowl near the dough itself. Why? Says the Gemara, as we mentioned, because Damar Malik, the Master says, mitzvah litrim in the mukav. It's a mitzvah to take the chumas, which is what challah is, it's a type of chuma, from that which is near it. And the Mishnah said, then makari l'shem, and then she could designate this woman, the teful yem arach, this yelad, that she could call it the name of challah when it's near the piece of dough. What's the chiddush in that? Says the Gemara, because Sogat, I mean, you would have thought to say, nigzir, we should make a decree and the concern, dilma asi l'minga b'mavroi, then she might come to touch the challah piece from the outside, because she's right here calling it challah. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush. No, we're not concerned with that. That she's not going to touch it. And if she could go ahead, be the one that designates it as the challah itself. Now the Mishnah continues, if the spit or the blood from this woman in her days of purity, of dam, of tar, of yeledis, which is like she's a tefil yam, if it falls on truma, it's going to be tar. So the Gemara explains, because it's not like we learned the Mishnah Masechtas Tefil Yom. So it says Mashka Tefil Yom, which again is what this woman is. The liquids that come out, that are from a Tefil Yom, as the parentheses explains, Mashka Nayetim Menu, the liquids that come out of the Tefil Yom, like the spit and the blood, are Kamashka Nayegebem, are like liquids that the Tefil Yom touches, which is Ve'elu Ve'elu in the Matam. Both of them are not Tame, because like we said, they're a Sheni, and the Sheni is not going to make these liquids as Tame, where although often actually a shein. It does make liquids tummy, but tefillium is not like that. So therefore, the same thing is from the liquids from the body, which are not going to be tummy. Chutz mimashka zav, but it says, except for the liquids that come out of a zav, shu avatama, which that's exeisa kasa, that says the liquids that come out, the urine, the spit, and all those have a laws of avatama, and that's an exception. But tefillium, which is what this woman is, it's not going to be tummy. Now, then the Mishnah ended off, Beishamai, we had a machlekes Beishamai still regarding, does she have to immerse herself one more time at the end of her post-childbirth Tahara days? Says, Gmamai Benai, what's the between them? Why would Beishamai require an immersion all the way at the end? So Rav Ketina says, Tfulyim Orechikim Benai. The difference between them is this idea about a long Tfulyim, meaning you're right. Beishamai agrees in a regular Tfulyim, a regular woman who is Tami, let's say from a Sheretz, that she immerses herself sometime during the day. And then for the whole day, she's a Tfulyim. Then at night she has to wait for sundown. Bisham would agree, you don't have to have that woman immerse at sundown again. It's just because here was such a long period of time, she's already been masiach das from Truma, which it itself is always a psula of Tuma because you weren't conscious of it. That's why Bisham says in this situation she has to go to immerse herself again at the end of the 80 days. And Bisham holds you not. But you're right, in general, Bisham would agree that a regular tful yom would not require another immersion by sundown.